Each of you here this evening, be in the house of the Lord. Unfortunately, this is our last night with you for this time. How swiftly the time has passed by. And Brother Roddy asked us about coming the earlier part of this year. We're looking forward to it. Oh, it seems so far away. And it's here and gone. But thank God that we've been with you. My wife and I certainly appreciated all your love and your fellowship, everything that you've done for us. You've made us feel like your family, like we've known you all our lives. And that's what Christian fellowship is all about. Getting to know each other and to share the love of God with each other. And so we thank you for all that you've done, and we will not so soon forget you. We look forward to coming back and spending some time with you again in the future, and perhaps might be for a little longer time. But in the meantime, we ask you to continue to remember us in your prayers. It's our desire to work for the Lord. Because we believe that Jesus is coming soon, and there are many, as been mentioned in prayers tonight, that are out there that are going into a lost eternity. And many of these are our loved ones, our friends that we've known all our lives. And how sad it will be to see them go out in time and eternity, lost forever. And I pray that that will be a burden on every one of our hearts. That God will burden us to seek to win others free, to let our lights and our light shine, that they may see Jesus Christ living in us instead. So again, pray for us as we leave. We leave tomorrow morning. The weather's suitable and the Lord be not come. If he's come, we'll all go together. We'll meet him in the air on a glorious day that will be. This evening, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to share from the Old Testament in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at the very first verse. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now turn across to chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before Him. I'm sure that the Lord will have His blessing through the reading of His Word. Father, thank You for Your precious Word this evening. We know that it is a light unto our feet, and it leads us down to the pathway of life. We just pray now that You may take it and use it for Thine honor and Thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'd like for us to think for a little while, as time permits, on taking up the challenge. Taking up the challenge. We know what a challenge is like. We're faced with challenges in our lives every day that we live. We have them come to us through various means and situations in life. And it seems that this day in which we live, God's people are even being challenged more than ever before. And we need, as believers in Jesus Christ, to take a stand and to accept the challenge that we have before us, knowing within ourselves that the victory has already been won by Jesus Christ through His death and resurrection. But the challenges are there. Many of us tonight, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we have faced challenges through sicknesses, through many other means of life. Maybe those in here tonight, you're facing challenges right now. You're being challenged by God to do something for Him. And there are many areas in your life, in your Christian service, that you know that you can do for God, but you haven't taken up the challenge. You haven't been willing to take up the challenge. You haven't been willing to take a stand. God wants every one of us to take a stand. He wants us to accept the challenge that He's given us, and He will not let us down. And this is what I would like for us to look at this evening in this portion of Scripture that we've read to you here. First of all, we see that Moses, the great man of God who led Israel out of Egypt, the man who had such a difficult time trying to keep the children of Israel on track. And if you read through the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, you know what I'm talking about this evening. The children of Israel were a difficult, disobedient people. And Moses' job was to lead them out of Egypt and on into the promised land. But this did not happen. And now Moses is dead. But before he died, God took him up on Mount Nebo, and God showed to him across the Jordan River the promised land. He said, Moses, this is where My people are going. Unfortunately, you will not go. You will not go because Moses himself, he disobeyed God. As the children of Israel got him so annoyed and aggravated, he said things that he shouldn't have said. And so he too was punished. But God was willing to let him see just across the river what was over there. And then he died. And God himself buried him. Now we find that the responsibility of leadership, as we've read here, falls upon the shoulders of Joshua. This is a new responsibility in his life that God has given to him. A new chapter and a new challenge in the life of this man. We must remember this man. He was one of 12 spies that Moses sent across into the promised land to search it out. They were gone for 40 days searching out this land. And when these 12 men came back to Moses to give their report, 2 of the 12 said, this land is a good land. This land is plenteous, but the enemy is great. They live in fortified cities. But these 2 men out of the 12 said, we can overcome them. We can conquer them by the grace of God. Unfortunately, 10 did not think so. 10, the majority, said, no, we cannot win this battle. We cannot go against these people. We will be destroyed. The sad part about it was they forgot their God. They forgot the God that had brought them out of Egypt. They forgot the God that had led them through the Red Sea. They forgot the God that had destroyed Pharaoh and his army. They had no thought of that in their minds. They were just looking about the present time when God had been so good and so gracious unto them. And unfortunately, they were not willing to take the challenge of God. They were not willing to obey God's command to go forward and to go and conquer the promised land. So the story tells us as we read it, and it's really sad. God punished them. God said to them, "You will not see the promised land. Every one of you will die in the wilderness, and only your children, a new generation, will come into the promised land, and Joshua and Caleb will be the leaders." Those were the two men that believed in God. Those were the two men then that were willing to take up the challenge, but they were outnumbered and they were defeated. God punished them. For every day that they were in the promised land searching it out, God said, "You're going to be punished 1 year for every day." So for 40 years, you're going to wander around in the wilderness for 40 long years. And we all know the story very well. They wandered around and around. They went back to the Red Sea from whence they came. They made a complete circle around. And they were so close to the promised land, that they were not willing to take up the challenge. Oh, my friends, may tonight this be a challenge to our hearts. We are so close to doing something for God, but we're not willing to take up the challenge. We're afraid to take a stand. God can use you, my friends. There is so much in Spanish Wells that God can use you, His people, to do. Take a stand. Accept the challenge. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The challenges are there. They're there for you and I to face each day in our lives. So what do we see now? We see where God has brought them around at the end of the 40 years. Israel is back to the crossover point again. Israel is back to the challenge point again. The challenge is now given to Joshua, go over. Joshua, go over. And I want you to believe tonight that Joshua was ready to go. Joshua was a man that was ready to go. He was a man that had been caught up in the disobedience of the children of Israel, and he, along with all the rest of them, had wandered for 40 long years. He was punished along with the rest of them, not for his disobedience, but because of what they did. And this happens sometimes to us. We get punished along with others because of their disobedience. But Joshua was willing to walk with the Lord. He was willing to follow God. He was willing to obey God. And when the time came now for this challenge, he was willing to accept it and ready to go over. Those people that were with him before, they were gone. They were there no longer. So he didn't have to worry about those doubters. But by God's help and God's grace and the promise of God, he was ready to go over. I read to you in chapter 1 and verse 5. A wonderful promise from God. And this promise, my friends, is not only to Joshua, but it is to you and I this evening as God challenges our hearts. It's to you and I. In the last part of verse 5, God said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Now listen at what he says to reassure it. "I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Only be strong. Be of good courage." That's all that God asks for you and I. To stand for Him. Be strong. Be counted. And let Him do the rest. And we'll find that if we do this in our lives, that God will use us. God will use us abundantly in His service, whatever it might be. There is much that you and I can do as believers in Jesus Christ. When we were called by Him, when we accepted Him as our Savior, we were commissioned, every one of us, men and women alike, to go forth and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to stand behind the pulpit like I'm doing tonight to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell of the love of God. You can do it in so many ways. In so many ways, the scripture says, if you give just a cup of cold water in my name, you'll be rewarded. Just a cup of water. There is much that you and I as believers can do for Jesus Christ. But we need to be willing to accept the challenge of God in our lives. We should not be satisfied just to sit down and be happy because we are saved. As I said earlier, we need to be concerned about our loved ones. We need to be concerned about our friends. We need to be concerned about our children, my friends. As we've heard in prayers tonight, and we talk as we go around, and not only in Spanish Wells, but we see it all over the world. Young people are being lost. They're going out and they're getting themselves involved in all of the difficulties of life. They're going away from God. And the problem is that they're not being corrected at home. They're not being told about it in the church. They're not being instructed in the ways of God. And they're suffering and the families are suffering. We need to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and be counted. Joshua believed God. Joshua's faith was strong in God. Nothing would stop them now. He was going to go over. He was going to go and take that promised land. He'd been wandering too long. It was time to go home where God had promised them. But you know, like everything else in life, tests are there. There's always a test. I've proven this in my lifetime as a Christian, and I'm sure that every one of you in here tonight have. If you determine within yourselves that you're going to do something for God, Satan's going to stop you. He's going to try. He's going to try. He will meet you somehow, some way, and try to turn your mind, your thoughts, to get you discouraged. There's so many means at his disposal to turn your mind away from Jesus Christ. To get you discouraged so that you won't take up that challenge and live for God. That you won't tell others about Jesus. But oh, I beg of you this evening, my friends, to put your faith in God. Believe God. Accept the challenge. God will see you through it. Come what may. He's always there. Don't ever doubt him for one moment. Joshua's first test was ahead. The test was to cross the River Jordan. He had to get across the River Jordan. And God was going to confirm to the people that Joshua, who was now his man, was going to complete that job. If you look in chapter 3 of this same book of Joshua, in verse 7 we'll see, the Lord said to Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." God was giving Joshua that assurance that he was with him and that he would see him across. If you look further down in the 17th verse of chapter 3, we'll see where the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed entirely over Jordan. Now, my friends, listen. Joshua could have come up to the River Jordan and he could have stood there and he said, "Oh God, this is a great test. How are we going to cross this water? This is a great test. You want me to go into the promised land? I'm determined to go, but this is great, God. I can't do it." But he didn't forget God's promise to him way back there. He didn't forget that God said, "I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." And my friends, that is a promise of God that you and I can claim tonight. God says, "I will never leave you, I will not forsake you," and we need to believe that. When we start forgetting that, my friends, we are going to find ourselves in difficulties in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. We need to keep remembering and reminding ourselves that He is with us always until the end of the world. He promised, and that He was with Joshua. They crossed over on dry ground. They proved God's power. Not only did he do it for Moses to cross the Red Sea, but he did it for Joshua at the Jordan River. And they crossed over on the other side. And they conquered by the grace of God their first challenge. They conquered their first challenge. That's what you and I need to do. All we need to do is conquer the first one. And God will give us strength to conquer the second one, and the third, and the fourth. And the more that we conquer, the stronger that we'll grow in our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. That's a proven fact, my friend. The more that we conquer and overcome the forces of evil that is up against our lives and in our Christian service, the stronger we become in the things of God.
And the closer we draw to God, and the scripture says, as we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you and I. And that's what we need in this life, in this world in which we live today. We need to draw nigh to God. The devil is there waiting. He's waiting to challenge you and I. So that is their first test. But I read you another test, and this was a major one. A major problem still awaits them. And what is it? It is the powerful walled city of Jericho that we read about in chapter 6. These were strong, well-fortified places. I understand from reading some of the history of Jericho that the walls around Jericho were so thick that they could drive 6 chariots at one time around those walls. Now you've got to imagine that. 6 chariots at one time around the walls of this city. The people lived in the walls of the city of Jericho. Those walls were thick and they were fortified. And within the hearts of these people, they felt that nobody, but nobody could defeat them. But oh, thank God, the scripture reminds you and I that greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. And don't ever forget it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the power and the presence of the Holy God living in our hearts and lives. The Holy Spirit is present in your life and mine. And so, what would you and I do if we were in Joshua's shoes? As Joshua has now crossed the River Jordan and he faces this city, what was the options for Joshua to use? Humanly speaking, Joshua could suggest that perhaps they make a few ladders. Ladders that would reach to the top of the wall. Or perhaps they could make a battering ram and seek to knock the doors down. Or perhaps they could dig a tunnel and get at the city of Jericho that way. It would take a long time to do. Or perhaps they could do like so many of us might do. Just forget it. Just become so discouraged as we look at the challenge, we just throw up our hands in despair and say, forget it. Forget it. It's not worth it. Oh, let me tell you, my friends, I hope that you and I never come to that point in our lives where we throw up our hands in despair when we're challenged by God to do something for him and say, forget it. If we're challenged by God to do something, let's do it by the grace of God. Let's not be disobedient to the will of God in your life and mine. We want to be obedient to the call of God in our lives. Now, I know that when God calls, sometimes we can find all sorts of excuses. And you're looking at a man that did in his lifetime. When I felt called full-time into the ministry, I had all sorts of excuses that I could find. But God wanted me, and God proved me, and I tried God, and I tested God, and God came through over and over and over again in my life, and I knew for a fact that he wanted me. And that's why I'm here tonight. If I didn't feel the call of God in my life, if I didn't feel that I was in the will of God, I certainly wouldn't be in Spanish Wells tonight. I could be at home in my house enjoying my grandson, whom I love dearly, but I love the Lord more than I do my grandson, my son, or anyone else. And that's why I'm here, because I felt the call of God in my life. Yes, I found excuses. I didn't know enough. I wasn't eloquent enough. There were others better than me. And on and on and on. Till finally God spoke to me through a message that I was preparing to preach. And he reminded me, as he did Moses, who made man's mouth? What is that in your hand? Throw it down. Leave it to God. And that's a challenge to every one of our hearts and lives tonight. Throw it down. Leave it to God. Let him take care of the situation. Joshua didn't give up. Joshua didn't turn his back. Joshua was not about to be defeated again. And so he was willing to follow the options of God. And you and I need to learn to follow these options. And although sometimes the path seems rough and steep, and many of us in here in this room tonight can attest to the fact that the challenges in our lives have been rough and steep, But oh, thank God that this evening I can say, along with so many of you, I've seen His footsteps all along the way. And there were times in my life, just like that little poem that we have about footprints in the sand, there were times in my life when I only saw one set of footprints, but I was reminded that that set of footprints was my Savior carrying me. My Savior carrying me. Because if it was left up to me alone, I would have stayed in the sand. But thanks be to God, He was there, and He carried me all along the way. Joshua, God says, here's the plan. Here's the plan. I read the plan to you. He said, I want you to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. The battle is the Lord's. Now, if we read a little earlier in chapter 5, I think it is, and verse 13 through verse 15, we'll see that God has given to Joshua another boost in his faith. God sends him a man that's an angel, and Joshua goes and speaks to him. And Joshua asks him a question. He says, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And listen at what he said. He said, no. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. God sent someone to encourage his heart, just like He does to you and I. He sends encouragement to us when we're down and out. It comes from the places that we least expect it to come, and it comes in ways that we least expect it to come. But God sent it as encouragement in our lives to keep us going, to keep us going for Him so that we may attain the victory in our lives. The battle is the Lord's. We need to remember this. The battle is the Lord's. Now, as we look at this plan, I admit, as I read it, it was a strange battle plan. What a strange battle plan. That was a battle plan to test anybody's faith. Take your army and march once a day around the city. I mean, God, what sort of a plan is this? How are we going to get these walls down, marching around this city? Actually, as I was thinking through this and studying through it, it sounds something like a medical prescription. Take a tablet once a day. God said, Joshua, march once a day. And you know something? It's just like the medication. The doctor gives you the prescription, you get it filled, and you take it, and it'll do you good. Don't put it on the shelf. I know plenty of people that get prescriptions from the doctors because they're sick and it can help them. And they go to the expense of paying for it and they take it home and leave it on the shelf and they never get better. Joshua could have done the same thing. He could have said, God, ain't nothing going to happen by marching around that city once a day. But he didn't. He took the plan. And oh, thank God that he did. It worked. It worked. The plan of God worked. Why? Because God was in control. God was in control. And let's never forget that, my friend. God is in control of our lives. I often wonder as I read through this passage of Scripture what the people on the walls of Jericho must have been thinking. Can you imagine their thoughts as they stood there every day and they'd look out over this vast army and they would just march around once a day, go back to the tent. March around another day, go back to the tent. I imagine that they questioned the sanity of those people down there. They were probably having a good time laughing at them. Then look at those idiots down there marching around in that hot sun. What do you think they're going to accomplish? Do you know that the world looks at you and I just like that? They look at you and I just like that. They say, look at those crazy people. What are they doing? Worshipping somebody they can't see, saying that they love someone they don't know, I've never seen personally. What are they doing? Oh, but let me tell you, my friends, when they come to know what we know, then that's a different story in their lives. Oh, what a difference He makes when He comes into our hearts and lives. Those people stood in that wall and they laughed at God's people. They laughed at them to scorn. Just marching around, but they were obeying God. They were obeying the Word of God. And when it came down to the last day, we see that they marched around 7 times. 7 plus 6, 13 times the children of Israel marched around to the city of Jericho. 13 times they were probably mocked and laughed at. But I'll guarantee you on the 13th time around, when the priests blew their horns and the people shouted, something happened. Something happened. By the grace of God, the scripture says, the walls came tumbling down. Was it because Joshua were attacked physically? No. Was it because they climbed the ladders? No. Was it because they dug tunnels? No. Was it because they didn't do anything? No. It was because they obeyed God, accepted the challenge, and they obeyed God. And the walls of Jericho fell. Joshua had the victory. And let me tell you, my friends, there is nothing like having victory in our lives. Victory. We sing a song that says, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His precious blood. And you and I, we should not want to live or be willing to live defeated lives. We need to have victory in our lives day by day by day. We need to accept and take up the challenges of our lives that God has given to us in many ways and many means so that we may go on for Him. We can talk to the captain, you know. Joshua talked to the captain of the army of the Lord and he gave him courage to go on. Our captain is Jesus Christ, and you and I can talk to Him at any time, at any place, under any situation in our lives. He wants us to come. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants to encourage our hearts. He wants to increase our faith. He wants us to go on for Him. He doesn't want us to live a life that's not happy in serving Jesus. He wants us to live a life that is happy, pleasing to Him, letting the world know that He makes a difference in our lives. And we can't do it if we're not willing to accept the challenge. We must accept this challenge. We must go forth in victory. There is a song that we sing that says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You and I, as believers this evening, my friends, we must have that faith in God. How much faith do we have in our God? We had faith to believe that He could save us. We had faith to believe that He changed our lives. And we need to have faith in Him to believe that He can do that which we think is impossible. All we need to do is trust Him. Remember this evening as I close the words of God to Joshua as He called him. He said, I will never leave thee. I will not forsake thee. Only be strong and be of good courage. My brothers and sisters tonight, if Jesus Christ has called you, be strong, be courageous. You've given your life to Him, live for Him, do something for Him. If you felt the call of God in your life to get up and do something, say something, be something, whatever it is, get up, say it, do it. Do it for God, don't do it for man. Don't do it for man. Man doesn't count, but it's what we do for God that counts. That's what's important in our lives. The world is watching us as we live day by day. They're looking at us. We're giving them a testimony of Jesus Christ through the lives that we live. So He wants us to be up and doing, taking a stand for Him. I pray tonight that if you're here, that God has challenged your heart, that you will not forget the challenge. That you will remember what God has said that He will do for you, and that you will do whatever it is. Whatever it is. Don't ever feel that you can't do enough for God. Whatever you do, if you do it with a willing heart, for God, you will be blessed and others will be blessed through you. Joshua could have come once again to that river Jordan and sat down and bemoaned himself to God and gone back through the same situation he had just come out of wandering in the desert for 40 years, but he didn't. He accepted the challenge of God in his life to take the children of Israel across the river Jordan. He accepted the challenge of God to march them around the walls of Jericho until they fell flat. And thanks be to God, we read that they then moved into the land that God had promised Abraham hundreds of years before, the land of promise. Do you think they would have been there tonight if Joshua had not obeyed God? I sincerely doubt it. That's how you and I, my friends, grow in the grace and knowledge of God, is that we obey Him and look forward to the promised land. It's there. It's near. It's a lot nearer than you and I think. Let's go forward. Forward for Jesus Christ. Take a stand. Take a stand for Him, no matter what it costs. May God bless these few remarks to our hearts for His name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your precious word this evening. Thank You, O God, for the challenge that You've issued to each of our hearts tonight. Lord, You've given us, as Your children, talents that we can use for Your honor and Your glory. There might be those here tonight, Lord, who know that they have those talents, those that You've spoken to, but Lord, there's so many things that Satan has been using against them to discourage them. I pray tonight by the grace of God that they may accept the challenge, that they may stand and be counted for Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, it's not what we do in this life that's so important unless we do it for You. What we do for You is the only thing that's going to count. May all of our lives, everyone that's gathered here this evening, may our lives be a channel of blessing to others, we pray. God bless each one. Thank You for this privilege we've had to come and to minister to these dear people. And Lord, I know that as our faces differ, so do our needs, but You're the God of us all. I commit and commend each one of them to You, Father. Meet the needs in their lives, whatever it might be. Oh God, draw them nearer to Thyself. I pray for their families, their loved ones, those that might have loved ones that are still out in sin. Lord Jesus, bring them to You, we pray, before we do that. Bless us now, Father, as we separate from this building this evening, but not Your presence. In the lovely name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out this evening. Again, it's been our privilege to be with you. We look forward to being with you again in the future.